they will steal the mind, even of a third grade devotee, immature person. Anybody, you see many Indians come. We don't know what they do at home, but they come. Even some Westerners come, especially in India, thousands of people come, and they may be and do so many things. We know so many people outside, they come. But then they're attracted by the form of Radhe Shyam. Sometimes, many times, they don't not familiar with Gaur Nitai. They might know Krishna Balaram. So it's incumbent upon the devotees of ISKCON to keep the temples open, keep them attractive, bring people to them, and therefore the people in general become liberated. Very important. So another point is this fire. The Prabhupada makes the point here that the body is earth, water, fire, air. So this Kapiladeva, he puts forward actually the philosophy of Sankhya Yoga, which describes these material elements. Sankhya means to count. Kapilas tattva sankhyata bhagavan atmamaya. The very first verse in the teachings of Kapila, this is the very first verse, describes Kapilas tattva sankhyata bhagavan atmamaya. He appears by his own power, Bhagavan. He's Bhagavan. So for these 60,000 offenders, this is a very bad thing that they did. They came in the presence of an incarnation of Krishna, and they just thought he stole their horse. The horse was probably just attracted. He didn't bother to steal their horse. So when they saw the horse there, after digging up, I don't know how they dug up a whole ocean, but they did it. And after going through so many endeavors, they saw the horse there, and they thought, hey, this man, kill him, kill him. Just imagine, here's Kapila, incarnation of God, effulgent. But they're seeing him as a great offender. They want to kill him. Kill him, kill him. You know, like that. So the offense was so great that they burst into flame. Just see. Very bad. Still, they talk about people spontaneously bursting into flame. I think Sariputta mentions in some of his writings, there's histories where people would just burst into flame. Maybe they were offenders or something. We don't know what they did. And sometimes some guy will just burst into flame spontaneously. Of course, there's always people who don't believe it, but somebody saw it, and somebody burst into flame, like Sati. When Sati burst into flame, it's understood that she was a great yogini, and she did it willingly, being so disgusted by the fact that she was part of her father. She was Dakshayani. Daksha was such an offender against Lord Shiva. She was telling her father Daksha. Daksha means expert in sense gratification. So he did not recognize Lord Shiva. Somehow his daughter had married Lord Shiva. But he thought, well, my daughter's married this guy. Lord Shiva, this Shiva, look at him. He's always got ashes on. He goes to crematoriums and surrounded by all these Buddhas, snakes all over him. And wow. This. And Shiva didn't stand up to greet the guy. So they all cursed him. And then Lord Shiva's men cursed Daksha. Went on like that. Anyway, finally, Sati, well, first she burst into flame. She just said, look, we have so much more opulence than you. It doesn't appear that way. But Lord Shiva is the most renounced person, the greatest devotee, Vaishnava, Anamita, Sambhu. So therefore, I'm giving up this body. And she just sat down and went into a yogic trance, raised to her topmost chakra, and burst into flame. Therefore, they have this term. Of course, sati means chaste. When the tongue, jivasati dadara gaiva sutta, when the tongue is averse to speaking about Krishna, Sukadeva Goswami describes it as asati, jiva, the tongue is asati, it's like croaking of the frogs. So this, and the sati rite has been coming down from time immemorial, that women, they'd rather suffer the fire of burning with their husbands. They were so chaste in previous eras or previous times, bygone days. They'd rather suffer that fire than the fire of separation from their husband. Of course, that became mandatory or something, and people were, you know, it became outlawed, but so So we get this Sati, and so Sati took another body and still became, as Parvati, became the wife of Lord Shiva, being so chaste. So there's one instance where voluntarily, and in first canto, we know also actually Narada Muni was involved, and he was instructing Vidura, or Yudhisthira, one or the other, I can't remember, was it, that Dhritarashtra had gone off to the forest with his wife Gandhari, and so he told that, don't bother to go there, I think it was Vidura, because in about 5 days from now, he will go into a yogic trance, and he will emulate, self-emulate also, like that. Sometimes the people protested, like the Buddhists, that was a thing where they would pour gasoline, and I guess they didn't have that much mystic power, but they would pour gasoline, and then protesting something, they would burn themselves. It's a pretty heavy thing to do. And Bhagavad Gita, this Agni was also Gyan Agni Dugdha Karmanam. It said that the fire of knowledge is like a fire. So there's no real reason, Prabhupada says, to set ourselves on fire or learn the yogic process, which I think most of us may not be able to learn. It probably takes a few thousand years. But Gyan Agni Sarva Karmanam. Tamahu Panditam Buddha. Those who are Pandits, Buddha, very learned, actual Buddhas, they get the fire of knowledge from Bhagavad Gita, from Srimad Bhagavatam, and all Dugdha Karmanam, all their karma, Apanast karma, our own karma. If we are suffering, we should think it's due to our own karma, Apana karma, doshe. By our own karma, we are burning. Divanishi hiajvale, Narottam Das says, we're burning day and night in the fire of our own activity and trying to enjoy it at the same time, interestingly. Whole world is suffering. Samsara dava nalalila, the whole forest fire of the material world. So, Ganagni dugdha karmanam, yognagno samado. In the fourth chapter also, it's described with just by practicing strict yoga, this is a fire of yoga. You sacrifice in the fire of yoga. Great devotees. Yoga agno. So there's karma agni, yoga agni. So there's the jator agni, also the fire of digestion, by which we digest food. We cannot eat. Ayurvedic, a good part of Ayurveda is to increase the digestion so you can eat. When Prabhupada was ill, especially in the last few months, there was always some striving to increase the digestion, because without digestion you cannot eat, and you have to leave your body. Or if the body becomes very hot by fever, then also you have to reduce the fever, then you have to work against the fire also. So this fire is such an important element in the material world. So Kapiladeva himself described all these elements: fire, water, air, Sankhya. So, but without understanding Kapila, the Sankhya, modern Sankhya, they're not yogis, but they're, Prabhupada said, the modern scientists are like Sankhya philosophers, a perverted form. They don't follow any regulation, but they count things. They count the material elements, but they don't count the source of the thing at all. They think they'll figure it all out, or they'll become the source, or they have some cockamamie idea. They're not sure what their idea is, but just like recently, one of their main big scientists, he said that gravity is the source of everything. And even the other scientists were laughing at him and saying, this guy's going crazy and sitting in a wheelchair for 45 years, and now he says gravity is the source. In a way it is. He doesn't know it's Balaram. Balaram's the source of the gravity. But he's saying something like that. So these material scientists, they're counting things. They're counting the strata. They go to the Grand Canyon or some other place where there's various layers of rocks, and they say, well, look at this layer. Wow, and this is a layer and that layer. And then once in a while they really befuddled, because the top layer will appear on the bottom. They say, well, that doesn't make any sense. We have to start all over again. So this is counting. They're counting the material elements. But without Kapiladeva, without Krishna, is described that even if they count the particles of sand or all the fragments of stars in the sky or all the subatomic particles and proton, neuron, atoms, whatever they want to count, still they cannot count, understand the glories of Kapila Dev. So these 60,000 personages who burst into flame, they had this affliction of being offenders, mahad, this mahad vyatikrama. We hear about this vyatikrama in various places. Actually, vyatikrama is also one of the things when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was having the discussion, and we learned of that discussion with the Kankan Digvijaya. There's a vyatikrama, one of the false in Sanskrit verse. And when Vidura wanted to approach Uddhava, because Uddhava was young, too young, when Maitreya was there, he was a senior person. It's considered, if there's a senior person within the vicinity and Maitreya was sitting right nearby, that's considered an offense, that one should not try to instruct. You should defer, unless that person says to. But Maitreya became the instructor of Vidura, although Vidura was first approached Uddhava. So there's so many various things in Lord Chaitanya's pastimes also, that Jagadananda, he was instructing Sanatana Goswami. Apparently he was a little bit younger, not much, but Lord Chaitanya just considered this a little bit of an operatic. Of course, in the pastimes, he said, no, Sanatana Goswami is like my guru. Why you're telling him anything? And actually, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu actually took instruction from Sanatana. We know that when Mahaprabhu first came to Ramkeli to see Rupa and Sanatana, or Anupam, he was on his way to Vrindavan. Hundreds and lakhs of people were following him. Sanatana Goswami said, no, I think it may not be so good for you to go to Vrindavan with all these people. Can just imagine, there were probably hundreds of thousands of people. Better you go without. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself did take instruction from Sanatana Goswami. And Lord Chaitanya said, this etiquette of the Vaishnava, this is the jewel of the Vaishnava, is a very important thing to follow. So obviously, far from any etiquette, these 60,000 sons, they all in unison were screaming, kill him, kill him. Just imagine, that alone would be enough to fire up anybody. Well, they got fired up and got burnt on the spot. So anyway, in the next couple of chapters, all concerns how these guys would get liberated. And Kapila instructed that they had to get the Ganga. That time there was no Ganga, and the Ganga had to be brought. Finally it was brought by Bhagirathi. That's the next part of the story. But for now, we're going to wind down. So if there's any comments, questions. Any microphone hidden? No? What happened? Stolen? It's gone. It was there before, right? Nobody can get in there unless they have the key. It was gone when you were here last time? Okay. He engaged them. Later on it's described that he did something. He punished them in a way. Some of them had to wear hats, a certain type of... Some of them couldn't wear underwear. Some of them could only wear underwear. They had to wear mustache and underwear. And imagine a whole bunch of guys doing that. It's funny. But... Yeah. So they follow that. It's interesting to have the barbarous, because this word barbarian. But that's supposed to be a Greek word, huh? Or what? Yeah, probably Greek. They get it from this. I don't know, he forbade him. That doesn't say they couldn't follow it, but they had their punishment anyway. I mean, yesterday you said that in that Purana, that this Rohita was, the other guy. His son, the one that was going to be sacrificed. Sunishapsha, that he cried and let him go, but it seemed like I read just now that he did get sacrificed and do this. Anybody got a better body or something, or the next time? At least, yeah. It seems to indicate it, but I'm not going to go back on that one, but you can read it. But I mean, other Purana. Bhagavatam is the Srimad Bhagavatam Purana Mamalam, spotless Purana. So we should always defer to Bhagavatam, I think. Anything else? All glories to Srimad Bhagavatam. Hare Krishna.